Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I was here last Sunday too, but I was up here. When Cliff was here, he invited John and I to come up, and Cliff was about this high, and I was about this high, but John was about this high because John is just a giant, so yeah, he's big. Anyway, I was here because I worked with Cliff in Prince George, and he was a senior pastor there. I was associate pastor, and Sheila, where's Sheila? There you are. Sheila was a secretary there, so that's how I come in contact with you guys. When we were there years ago, before I started, well, it was right when we started pastoring there, we stayed with Sheila and Brian for, I don't know, couple weeks maybe, and Randy was like this long, our oldest son, and that was 25 years ago. And Brian and Sheila have really good friends, Dell and Sylvia. She thought I was 25. She just met me last week, so that means I couldn't have a 25-year-old son, but I do. I want to thank you from Samaritan's Purse for a few things. Last night we were in your basement eating. Some of you probably don't know that. There was a wedding at the Alliance Church and we got kicked out, but thankfully you're only down the road and we used your basement so we could get fed up. So thank you very much. The other thing is you guys support us very well with the shoeboxes, and we wanna thank you from Samaritan's Purse, and that whole group over there are very, very thankful for what you guys do with Operation Christmas Child and helping out with the shoeboxes. There's someone else I'd like to introduce. That's my lovely wife, Cindy. We've been hanging around together for about 33 years, been married for 32. So that's why she's like that, because she has to hang around with me. No, she's pretty awesome, really. She is, and we'll probably get to hear from her maybe a little bit later. She's an author and a speaker, so if you are interested in learning any more from her, she'd love to talk to you after the message. I have to take these off because I can't read what it says on here. Sorry about that. We're in Vernon because of the fires here. We've been at Cache Creek as well, hanging out there for the last 8 weeks and helping with the Linton fire, with cleanup and sifting ash, finding little nuggets of, sometimes it is gold, pieces, coins, metals, and it really helps make a difference in people's lives when we can go in and give them something because they have absolutely nothing left. And I know that you guys are in the same situation, not knowing if you were going to have to leave, and that could be some of you. So I would ask that you continue to pray for the people of Linton, the people in Monte Creek, and the people across the lake who still have no home to go back to. That would be awesome. My position at Samaritan's Purse is Canadian Disaster Relief Equipment Service Manager. See, I wrote it down because I don't know my title because it's this long. So it's Canadian Disaster Relief Equipment Service Manager. Part of what I do on deployments is take care of the footprint, or so to speak, at the church and set up and maintain the camp. This includes making sure we have all the vehicles, safety supplies, power tools, etc. When we're helping people navigate through a disaster in their community, we keep generators and pumps and chainsaws and the like running smoothly. On some deployments, I sharpen hundreds, if not thousands, of chains on chainsaws. All of us who work or volunteer for Samaritan's Purse have the incredible opportunity to have an impact on the kingdom and being part of that ministry, and to see what God does is amazing. But I want to turn this around a little bit and look at it from a different perspective today. In Isaiah 43:10, we read, "But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servants. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. Cindy, will you come up and pray, please? Pretty technical.
May I help? You certainly can. Now. Thank you. I guess I just had to hold it a longer. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to be again in the house of the Lord and being able to freely look into your word. God, we ask for your spirit to come and hover over this place as we gather around your word this morning. May your anointing fall on Walter as he shares and he speaks. And would you prepare each of our hearts for that word, that truth, that nugget that we have. And God, may we be men and women who hear well, who obey well. And may we be men and women who bring joy to your heart and honor to your name. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He said, believe in me and understand that I alone am God. And we'll come back to that. I want to share with you an experience I had in a little place a half hour north of the Gulf Coast on the panhandle of Florida called Wewahitchka. We were there for 2 months. I couldn't say that word for the first 2 weeks we were there. See, in the fall of 2018, Hurricane Michael caused massive destruction. It pretty much wiped out the town of Mexico Beach, and throughout the whole area was devastated. God found us a place to set up at First Baptist Church. Upon arriving there, I was there to help keep things running and help them dig out from the hurricane. However, God had different plans. It was an incredibly busy and draining deployment, up early, down late. Oh, and often up in the middle of the night nursing a reefer trailer engine that was older than, well, I think Canada. But all our food was in that trailer. It was critical. God had me in the midst of all this to build some incredibly interesting relationships, like the one with Johnny. Johnny lived on the edge of town in a trailer house. The night of the hurricane, Johnny went to bed like any other night. You see, Johnny was a loner. Johnny drove his family away from years of abuse, his attitude, and his drinking. A man who still had a problem with a bottle, but actually found out who Jesus was in prison and knew that God was always with him. As the hurricane winds and rains pounded on Johnny's little shotgun shack, Johnny heard someone knocking at his door. Johnny brushed it off. Because in Johnny's words, nobody ever comes to visit me. I must be hearing things. The knocking, however, got louder and more consistent. He finally got up to check. As Johnny looked out the window beside his front door, he only found out that nobody was there. But at that moment, a massive tree crashed into his bedroom and totally wiped that room off the back of his trailer. Over the next week, I got to give Johnny a generator, speak into his life. The team put up a wall where the bedroom used to be and fixed a bunch of plumbing. But Johnny spoke to me as well. I learned some things from a simple man. A man who lived in a home that we would not use for a storage shed here in Vernon. God speaks in mysterious ways. God uses everyone. I also got to be part of the Bible presentation, which we do at the end of every time we get to work with a homeowner, and it was an incredibly rewarding experience. Let's transition to Jerry. Jerry was in the military in his earlier years, retired now, lived in a very modest trailer, nicer than Johnny's, but wouldn't cut it where we live, had mobility issues, and had lost his wife a year or two before we were there. The trailer acquired too much damage from the storm to live in anymore. It was just too far gone. Jerry was living in his car in a small hatchback full of a few belongings that made it through the storm. Our team's hearts ached for Jerry, and so we would take turns taking him food every day. He simply would not come eat with us. It was my mandate to stop and try to stop at Jerry's place every day just to encourage him and see if we could bring him anything. I couldn't always make it, but one of the team members always stopped in. Jerry needed a shower and some new clothes. He had been in his car for weeks now, but he wouldn't come and shower. Then one day he finally agreed if Darren, who is here, and I would take him, he would let us buy him some new clothes and he would take a shower. What does God want to do through you guys? What does he want to change in you? You see, I had to let go of a lot of pride in my life to help Jerry shower. Jerry came out of there like a new man. The other miracle is the fact that I was in contact with FEMA and the Federal Emergency Management Agency trying to get Jerry a holiday trailer, which they were supplying for people. But every time I talked with them, they would say, that is at least 3 to 6 months away. I would go through the whole story over and over about how he was living in his car, no shower, no power, no place to cook, and on and on. And I would go through this day after day with FEMA. And then one day I went to Jerry's place, and there was an RV for him to move into. I know FEMA delivered it, but it was sent from the Lord. Jerry recognized that as well. Susan. Susan is on the side of our disaster relief trailer. You can't see her from here because she's on the other side when you drive by the Alliance Church. But where we were set up, she helped at the church. And she helped the cooks do prep. And we did lots of work on her property as well. Susan was divorced from a bad situation and lived alone for quite a few years on a very limited budget. One evening during share time, Susan was leaning up against the door jamb, and the Lord said to me, go put your arm around Susan. No, I don't want to do that. I immediately said no and thought, oh, what will people think if I do that? And the Lord said, go do that. That lady doesn't get many hugs. I very reluctantly walked over and hesitantly put my arm around her, and tears came streaming down her cheeks. She put her arm around me and pulled me in close as we closed in prayer. You know what? I don't even think anybody else noticed. Are we listening to God in the little things? Because that little thing was a big thing to Susan. Only God knows the blessings. God knows the blessings I would have missed by brushing that off. I walked by the kitchen 10 times a day where she was working, and I promised the Lord I would stop in every day to say hi. Why did he choose me to do that? I have no idea. But that's one time I've listened and seen what he was up to. How many times do we not do what he asked to do and stop God from blessing us? Jeff. Jeff kept bringing me chainsaws to fix. Jeff was the church secretary's husband. Not Brian, Jeff. Jeff and his wife were hit hard by Michael, and he was working long hours to get their place back to where they could live in it again without the elements coming in. Jeff kept asking me to come to small group with him, and deep down inside, I really didn't want to go. I also wasn't sure I could leave camp that long, but I did tell him, I said, If everything was stable and everything was running, I would come, running smooth, I would come and it would be a last minute decision. Well, of course, everything was running smoothly that night, probably the only one. So I hesitantly jumped in the pickup and went to where I didn't really want to go. I did the small talk thing, dined with them, and listened to Jeff as he led the night. As the night wore on, I started to sense. I started to feel the angst and understand a whole lot more of what these people were going through. I was on their turf, feeling their pain. It was somewhat crushing, but it was somewhat freeing as well. I worked differently. I listened much better, and I actually felt what they felt. The things like, are we ever going to recover from this storm? I became part of the community. God sent me where I didn't want to go and taught me things I would not have learned any other way. People, we need to get our head in the game and not just be a spectator. Are we listening? What has God been asking you to do lately? What have you been avoiding? We can't learn it any other way. I could tell you more stories about more deployments and other things God did in people, changing them on other deployments. God called each of us into our designated positions for a reason. He got me to do things I didn't want to do, to stretch me, to grow me, to mold me. Earth-shattering things? No. Small, simple things that were part of his big plan to make me more like him. See, at Samaritan's Purse, we see big things happen. We see things happen like new buildings going up. We see 500,000 shoeboxes being sent across the world. We see hospitals being put up in terrorist countries. We see streams of souls coming to make commitments to Christ. We see plane loads of supplies delivered, houses built, and on and on and on. And this happens in your church and your community as well. What God did in us at the point of salvation was the biggest thing that could ever happen in a person's life. But now he continues to slowly mold us into his character. That was a big thing. Now he is slowly working on us and chipping away at us. Notice the little things, my friends. Don't get me wrong. If God decides that you are going to move mountains, they will be moved. Hold your head up high. If God called you to do what you were doing, you will have just as many jewels in your crown as Billy Graham. You, my friend, are no less in the eyes of the Father. When I left Wewahitchka, I left a part of me there, but I also took something with me as well. An experience I would have gotten nowhere else, and more tools in my toolbox to minister to others. This is what I wrote one night before I switched the light off in Wewahitchka. It's so cool to be part of helping homeowners in Florida scrape their lives together after Hurricane Michael. After being here in the thick of it all, I still can't grasp what it's like to come home to not only nothing, but having to put everything you know and own into a dumpster. It is possible to find a shirt, a few family pictures, or mementos that went through 200 mile an hour winds and downpours that moved your walls from beneath the roof and replaced them all over the neighborhood, but quite unlikely. Some give up. Some leave with not knowing where they're going. Some sleep in vehicles and try to stay positive while hoping tomorrow might be better. Some niche out a life living in a corner of their home when the rain pours in the rest of their home from all the trees that invade the roof, but have no resources to remove them. Should they be living there? Should they have to look for a place to shower? Should retired people have to start over? Should babies be in moldy and windowless homes? I personally don't think so, but it's all in front of me. It's down many streets and in tons of neighborhoods. We get a firsthand look at what it's like, but don't have to actually go through it ourselves. All of us who work or volunteer for Samaritan's Purse are often the first people to bring any hope to a family who watched their lives shatter before them and get an incredible experience of walking into people's lives who are very cold, lost, numb, and shocked at what just happened. We fill trucks with tools, put a team together, and start cleaning and working on a property and their homes and witness the transformation that Christ brings of hopelessness to maybe things can turn around. Dark eyes lighten up, slumped shoulders straighten out. Depression slowly turns positive. Hope cracks through pain and anguish. Humorless individuals start to laugh and crack jokes and smiles. Strangers bond into solid friends. God turns darkness into light. Do we need a reward or a medal? Not a chance. See, these people didn't ask for this. It fell on them. Wrong place, wrong time. It could be me, it could be you. I thank God that it wasn't me, and I thank God that I get to help these precious people. Yeah, this changes the people we get to help, but it changes me as well. There's a transformation of how you think of others, how a stranger becomes family. How it's not just about you. How it's not about bigger and better. How sweat and toil for someone else builds character. How tears can cleanse the soul. How much stronger and smarter people are than me. How learning new ways is good and often better. How God uses all this to make you into a better individual, which serves your family well. So if you don't have time to serve with Samaritan's Purse, I challenge you to look around your community or household and serve with a gracious heart. You will be surprised how your attitude toward others will change and how change will come to your heart and change your thinking. Take courage, my friends. It won't happen itself. It's painful. It takes time. And yes, it may take some of your money, but you're so worth it. And I ended it with Godspeed. Watch God take the little things in your life and make them big. Let God change you as you minister to others. Did you notice I didn't want to help Jerry? I didn't want to give Susan a hug. I didn't want to go with Jeff. But it's not about us, my friends. Notice that the letter right in the middle of the word pride, the big I, we need to drop the I and the me and what we want. We need to not only say we are doing things in Jesus' name, but we need to actually live that way as well. Let's go back to Isaiah 43:10. It says, we are servants and witnesses, and he alone is God. We need to keep him in the forefront of our minds and not just in the background until it's, you know, convenient for us. We need to also listen when he tells us to purge sin and iniquity out of our lives. What does Psalm 66:18 say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Sin hinders our prayers, and it hinders our effectiveness of our prayers. And righteousness has the Father's ear when we pray. Proverbs 11:2 says, pride leads to destruction. Pride comes in many ways. One is the pride of life, arrogance, knowing it all, or being very good or knowledgeable at something, but not giving God the glory for giving us that wisdom or talent. God formed us in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Everything comes from him. We need to return the glory to him. Pride of place. Our position, where we live or work, it can create pride that we put before our Creator God as well. Pride of race. I'm better than you because I'm not Italian or German or Swedish, or I'm better than you because I am Italian, German, or Swedish. But Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. 4, pride of possessions. I have a big bank account or pension or something like that. I have a nice house or the best cars. For some, it's jewelry or furniture or tools or family. Anything that comes before God is pride, and it becomes an idol to us. God will not accept that, and he hates our attitude when it puts what he has given us ahead of him. Some of you will remember the Sotera twins. They led a revival ministry, and they were part of the Canadian revival in the early 70s. Some of you were probably touched in those revival meetings years and years ago. I had the opportunity to travel with them, and they always say, people get what they can what they get, and sit on the lid. And oftentimes, this is in retirement. We just sit on the lid or watch it sit in our bank account. My dear friends, God gave you all that for a reason. Are you sitting on the lid, or are you using it for his honor and glory? I know you have worked hard all your life to gain what you have, but it's still his. Is it being used to further the work for the kingdom? Let it go, my friends. Let go and let God. Let God decide what he is going to do with all your stuff. You know, there's a lot of people here from Samaritan's Purse. I would like them to stand for a minute. Anybody from Samaritan's Purse or BG? Awesome, you can sit down now. I got them to stand up for a reason. A lot of these people are retired, and they come and serve out of a gracious heart of what God has given them. And they are a model of what God wants to do with people and what God wants to do with our finances. And they help further the kingdom. They get to see people come to Christ all the time. They get to see the smiles that finally come on people's faces when we have dug them out of just getting them into their driveways from taking trees off of their lane. They're not sitting on the lid. They're letting God do in their with their possessions and with them whatever he wants. So there's the pride of life, the pride of race, the pride of place, the pride of possession, and then there's the pride of the proud. Those who refuse to humbly bow before the Lord, our God, our Maker. And let him break down our personal and relational barriers in our lives. James 14:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Some of those relational barriers are between husband and wives, in-laws, siblings, church members, employees, or other people in the community. It's time. It's time, my friends, to deal with those broken relationships. You and God know what it is. And you and God know what needs to be dealt with. It can be from 40 or 50 years ago. It can be from 2 days ago. It's still sin in the first degree. It's still pride, and it's still damaging relationships and hindering and stopping what Jesus Christ really wants to do in your life. As the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He knows you intimately. He wants you to have peace in that relationship, and He will restore it to better than before if you get rid of the pride, sit down with whoever that is, and say you're sorry, and stop the blockage of His grace and His goodness in our lives. Do you want freedom? Do you want His peace? Do you want to see what only He can do in your life? A life turned over to Him? You can't believe the things He will do with your life if you totally surrender everything to Him. My friends, you can't get past the rapids of rocky relationships to the shores of restored ones without building bridges of repentance and restitution. You will never get past the rapids of rocky relationships to the shores of restored ones without building the bridge of repentance and restitution. Friends, those bridges get built as we humbly say to the Lord, "Forgive me for trying to do things my way. I was wrong. By your grace, I will do it your way. I will follow your plans. I will lean into your strength. I will submit to your sovereign rule in my life. I invite your power and boundless resources to enable me to use me however you choose." It's kind of like this. When we choose to travel over Repentance Bridge onto Restitution Drive, it takes us onto Freedom Way, a way to joy, and a joy-filled home and a joy-filled life. The Holy Spirit wants to invade your life like He did when you were first saved. He really is there waiting to do what only He can do. We need to get out of the way, clean up the dross in our lives, and encounter God every day. It's not about years ago and what you're holding on to or what we can hold on to. Again, we need to let go and let God. You can't get those years back anyway, but you can listen to His still small voice today and do what His still small voice is asking you to do. Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that I am God. Let's just stand for a minute and talk to our Maker and our Savior. Let's be still. Just bow our heads. Ask God what He's saying to you. Say, "Lord, what are you saying to me about this area of my life? Is there something I need to do?" Just take a minute to ask the Lord. And as you ask the Lord that, be willing to talk to whoever you need to talk to, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to take back, and tell Him and commit to doing that. Just talk to Him right now. Thank you that He gives us that forgiveness and that the permission to come to him. And then we can walk in the newness of life. And we can surrender ourselves to him again anew today. Renewal is sweet. And God is the God that makes renewal happen. He's the only one that can change our hearts and our thoughts. Just pray with me. Lord, we are your people. We thank you that you have come to change us. Lord, help us to see what you see in our lives. Holy Spirit, cleanse us from all iniquities. Lord, keep us in the spots you want us to be in. Help us to minister to the people you want us to minister to. I just pray for you guys that God will do exactly what he says he will do, and I know he will. Thank you for, Lord, for touching each one of our lives, our thoughts. Lord, may we be what you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen.